This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Can you smell the popcorn? And by the way, don't you wish you could always be smelling popcorn?
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy.
Okay, my favorite food is in the air because Independent Film Festival Boston is back in person. Screenings started April 27th and go through Wednesday, May 4th. So we want to know, how's it going with this first return to screens and people in a studio eating popcorn since 2019? Here with us in the studio, Brian Tam, Executive Director of IFF Boston. Brian, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
And I do want to note, WBUR is a presenting sponsor of this year's festival. Brian, one day in. How is it going? How excited are you?
So far, so good. Pretty excited. You know, it's great to be back. It's great to see everybody together again. That's what we do. We like to bring people together to share these stories. So it's been super exciting.
So we've talked a lot here on Radio Boston over the last couple of years about what's changed in the pandemic, Brian, including films, movie watching, the film experience. So what's the goal this year in bringing this film festival back together in person? And did it change, like so many other things changed from the pandemic?
I mean, there have been changes. That's absolutely true. I think there are still some people who aren't ready to come back, which is understandable. But I think after spending 2 years sitting on the couch watching movies alone, people really want to come back and be in a community. People want to see movies on the big screen, and they want to feel that experience. When you watch a funny movie with an audience, it's funnier. Scary movies are scarier. And I think people want that experience again, so they're not just, you know, kind of siloed off and they're together.
Do you remember the first movie you saw back in a theater with other people since the start of the pandemic?
Oh, I've seen so many since then. But the, excuse me, the first one I saw was In the Mood for Love when the Coolidge opened back open. That's one of my favorite movies. So I thought that was a nice one to come back with.
And what, how'd it feel?
It's kind of indescribable. I mean, seeing movies in theaters is my favorite thing to do, and kind of being denied of that just felt like I've felt very lost for a long time. And so it gave me, you know, the connection to, you know, the core of what I think about things and how I view the world. So it was really exciting to be back.
Yeah, and I'm asking because we will have listeners today who are like, I don't know if I'm ready to be back in a movie theater yet. And it's interesting to hear somebody who this is your world, you know, what did it mean to you and what did it feel like to you to come back into that space?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's everything, because I really believe in this idea that, you know, film is a machine that generates empathy, and that Roger Ebert says. And I think when you see these movies, you just see other perspectives. And I think, to me, that's the way I broaden my view of the world, seeing how do other people see themselves? How do people tell stories about themselves? And just feeling that connection is so crucial to me. And so it was very hard not to have that for me personally.
So let's stay there for a minute on the films, the curation of this. So I looked this up, and according to a website called Statista or Statista.com, nearly 750 were released in the U.S. and Canada in the last 2 years. And I'm thinking about, okay, you got to pick. So how do you decide? You're curating. The stakes are higher than usual. How do you decide what comes to this festival?
Well, to some degree, we're always, you know, we can only pick from what's out there. So we're just trying to get a sense of what is it, what are the stories filmmakers are trying to tell, and what resonates with us, and what do we think will resonate with our audience? So as we watch, and we watch way more than 750, you know, you just see the movies that you think, you know, I know there's people in Somerville and Cambridge and Boston and Brookline who will really see this movie and really feel it deeply. And so those are the kind of things we're looking for.
And is there anything thematic, either on purpose or by accident, that sort of emerged in your choices?
I mean, I think there's always a lot of accidental themes. You know, we're looking at films, you know, that are submitted to us or that get sent to us from alumni or other festival programmers or that we see at other festivals. And we're not necessarily looking for anything specific, but as they come together, as we start kind of programming them, you do see certain themes come out. You know, I mean, I think there's, you know, the anxiety of what's been happening in the last couple of years is kind of bubbling up, maybe not directly, but indirectly, you know, in the background of things. You know, the way the people feel economic pressures, the way people feel a little bit disconnected, that's showing up. People looking to find their voice, people looking to, you know, use this as an opportunity to, you know, maybe blow up all their life and do something new and do something they really care about. I think those themes are starting to come out in the world.
Starting to kind of echo through what you're seeing in art.
Yeah.
All right, so in a second, I'm going to bring in another voice. But before I do, let's stick with this popcorn theme for a minute and just pop some kernels for us of films people could expect to see, both, you know, fiction, nonfiction.
There's a lot to see. It's kind of hard to pick just a few, but, you know, we have a couple films that, you know, are local. We've got a Girl Talk, which is a documentary by Alicia Small about the girls on the debate team at Newton South High School. That's on Sunday. We've got The House We Lived In, which is coming up on Saturday. I know we're going to talk about that a little bit more later.
Yep, we'll have that later in the show.
We're big fans of local filmmakers, and we want to make sure that we can highlight them and give them the biggest audience we can.
All right, so stay tuned for a second, Brian, because I'm going to bring another voice in now. Ivy Malin is the executive director of the Brattle Film Foundation, Ivy, come on in, executive director of the Brattle Theater in Harvard Square, and I practiced your name like 10 times before the show started, and I'm just butchering it. It's Moylan.
Moylan, yeah.
Thanks, Ivy. Hi. Sorry about that. Okay, so.
Oh, no worries.
Glad to have you back. And you know, when we first talked about bringing you on to join this conversation today, Ivy, what I was thinking about was talking to you in 2020 as you were thinking about opening your theater back up and the decisions that you had to make to do that. So I'll ask you that same question. How's it going?
It's going fine, I would say. The joy of having a space that people can gather in again, as Brian was saying, never stops being wonderful. And being able to share films with people is why we do what we do. There's been a lot of ups and downs since we reopened. And, you know, right now we sort of are in a waiting pattern as we wait to see, have we reached a plateau in terms of behavior? Will people start to feel comfortable coming out? Everyone who comes to see a movie at the Brattle that we've experienced is relieved, happy to be there. And I think if they go, they're more comfortable going again. It's just that first visit, is the big hurdle, you know, as we all start to decide whether we do things or not.
So we're talking to do. We're talking with you. You're a leader of this organization. We're talking with Brian. He's the leader of that organization.
Mm-hmm.
But often people who work in an organization all the way down are passionate about what it does, right? So what about all the other team members at the Brattle? What was there a moment where everybody sort of stood still for a second and said, oh, feels so good to be back?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the first day that we reopened, it was like that. And even though, you know, there was still personal anxiety about health and safety and things like that, the counterbalance of the relief. And also, I will say, being in the community that we're in, where our patrons are respectful, they are cautious, they are following the science. So what I've heard of stories in other parts of the country, we're not dealing with. So that was also a relief for our staff. You know, there was a lot of anxiety before we reopened about how hard it was going to be because the news covers the non-compliant people. And it's been the opposite, where our audience is just like, thank you for being open. Thank you for having the protocols in place to make us all feel safe. We're so happy to be back.
So let's bring Brian back in now, Brian Tam of IFF Boston. The two of you now are collaborating in bringing a film festival to Boston, and I have trouble getting my head around the magnitude of that. So, Ivy, starting with you, what does it take? I mean, it's one thing to put films on. It's another thing to be part of a festival. What do you have to gear up on, and what makes you a little bit white-knuckled as this whole thing launches?
So one thing I will say is, in addition to being an executive director at the Brattle, I am also the print trafficker for the festival. So I actually work for the festival to help things get on. So I have very specific answers connected to that. But I don't know if Brian feels the same way, but I feel like for festivals, ramping up and bringing them back, you know, post-lockdown, the big anxiety is, will people come? Are they going to come? Is it going to be the same? You know, we have these memories of full houses and applause and the, just the buzz of the festival experience.
Brian, was that true for you?
I mean, I worry every year if people are going to come. So
he does.
yeah, I mean, it's challenging. I mean, you know, you kind of go into it and you know how it used to work and you have mm-hmm. to be a lot more flexible. You know, we face the same, you know, inflation and supply chain issues everyone else mm-hmm. faces. And so, you know, trying to figure out, okay, well, we used to do this thing and we can't do it for kind of logistical reasons. What do we do? Or we used to do this thing, but I don't know if that works anymore post-COVID, you know, so there's just a lot we need to be just more nimble about, really.
And mm-hmm. and Ivy, is there something you've kept from the COVID era that's a part of how you do things now and you're happy about it?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, on the logistical end of things, I think that something's that's happened in the COVID era is so much more being done online. And not just not viewing, but like purchasing tickets online. Mm. And in terms of film exhibition, there's a lot less media being shipped tangibly and more download links and things like that. And my gut is that's all staying. You know, there's cost savings, there's simplicity, there's just a behavior that changes. You know, you can download a link and then you don't have to worry about it getting lost in transit and things like that. So I do think that those logistical things will continue.
Brian,
for sure.
I'm watching you nod there.
yeah, I mean, that's been a big thing is seeing the movement from kind of people waiting to buy tickets at the festival and people buying tickets earlier. And, you know, I think people are excited to be in person and not watching the films on TV, but they are definitely in that mindset of, you know, we want to be organized and we have mm-hmm. everything at our fingertips and we want the information. I think people are spending a lot more time thinking about our website than they had before, mm-hmm. which is great. We're getting a lot of feedback about that, more than we've ever had. So I think people are more cognizant of that, which is great.
So Brian, I want to have a little fun with you and Ivy here. You mentioned as we were preparing for today's show that one of the movies you like, Dos Estaciones, was such a brattle film. So talk a little bit about that. What do you mean by that? Tell us.
I mean, if you go to the brattle lot, I think you know what that means. I don't know if I can totally put it into words, but it's a foreign film. It's a Mexican film. It's about a woman who runs a family-owned tequila factory. And the combination of a blight destroying plants and a big American corporation coming in is putting a lot of pressure on her, and you know how she deals with that because she's a pillar of her community, and how she deals with this pressure on her is the crux of the film. But everyone in it is a non-actor, so it feels like a documentary. And to me, one of the things I love is you know what Ned and Ivy at the Brattle do so well is they find these films, often foreign films, by directors who prefer to work with real people rather than actors. And so the line between what's real and what isn't, sometimes people play versions of themselves, that you know that kind of disappears. And I think it really immerses you in that film. And I think some of my favorite films that I've seen at the Brattle kind of end up being that kind of film. So when we saw this, Nancy Campbell, our program director, and I said, this has to be at the Brattle because this is the kind of film that they champion.
So, Ivy, I'm making the assumption you've seen Dos Estaciones. So
I have not.
Okay.
I will be there on Sunday to see it because I mean, when I read the description, I was like, that's my kind of movie. So
see?
So he's right.
So have you seen any of them? I mean, do you see them like the audience does as they come along, or are you screening some of them in advance? How does that work for you, Ivy?
So I, with the festival, I generally have seen some of the films in advance and then others I'm seeing for the first time with the audience. So it's a nice combination. Last night's opening night film, Emily the Criminal, I saw. I've seen a handful of the other films in the festival, probably like six or seven of them, which is great because it means that there's other movies I can see for the first time.
So I want to go into moments here. I'll start with you, Ivy, and then Brian, I'll go to you. You know, I love movies, even more than I love the popcorn. It's close, but I love movies. And often when I think about a movie that I love, Ivy, it's not the whole film, it's not the whole story, it's moments. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking the other day about the moment in Harold and Maude when Harold tells Maude, I love you, and she says, that's wonderful, Harold, go out and love some more. Is there a movie, a moment in a movie, one of these movies in this Independent Film Festival Boston, that is that moment that you're holding on to, that you're thinking about, that you've played over in your head over and over again among the ones you've seen?
That's a great question. For me, there's a film that's going to play at the Somerville Theater called Every Day in Kaimuki, which is a first feature by a Native Hawaiian. And it's shot, it's a very like American indie. Normally you would see this film shot in New York. And it's really interesting because it's not shot in New York, it's shot in Hawaii. But the scene that really sticks with me from that film is there's a process. He's trying to figure out how to move his cat from Hawaii to New York City. And there's this whole process of like calling, of him being the main character, being on the phone with the airline, constantly having to basically ask the same question over and over again to actually get an answer, that just rang so true to me when you're trying to do something that you almost shouldn't be able to do, mm-hmm. but that is also so simple to do, which is sort of what this film is about.
And what life has felt like in the
that
last couple of
years.
Brian, how about you?
Well, one that really comes to mind is in a movie called Resurrection, which is playing at the Brattle on Friday. It stars Rebecca Hall as somebody whose life seems very organized and very ordered. But then someone from her past, played by Tim Roth, comes and just upsets everything. And for a long time, we as an audience don't know what's happening. And there's a moment where she explains to another character what's happening. And it's like a 10-minute monologue. And it's so compelling and it's so powerful that I ended up watching it a second time at Sundance because I just couldn't get it out of my head. Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm sorry, I'm a little distracted by how well Tim Roth plays anything that is upsetting and disrupting.
Agreed.
So,
very fair.
The folks who don't know that you know him probably from Pulp Fiction, yeah. If nothing else. All right. So, Brian, last question to you. What's your hope? At the end of this, it's done, and you are full of warmth inside because?
I mean, my hope is always that people come and they feel they're a part of a community and they discover something new. They discover a new storyteller, a new voice. But just that they feel that they had a connection both to these stories and the community around them. That's my hope.
All right. And that is Brian Tam, Executive Director of the Independent Film Festival Boston. Also, Ivy Moylan, Executive Director of the Brattle Film Foundation, which runs the Brattle Theater in Harvard Square. Thank you so much to both of you. I appreciate you joining us.
Thanks.
Thank you.